Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's dig in. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
So today we are going to talk about one of the most common mistakes job seekers make, sending the same resume and cover letter to every position. And you know what? Hiring teams can spot a generic application, and a lot of times it won't make it past the first screen. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about why tailoring your resume and cover letter for each role is so incredibly important, and how to make small adjustments that can show you understand what the company is really looking for, highlight the right skills, and then stand out from the other stack of individuals that are applying as well. So stay tuned. We've got some really great stories to tell as well.
This is a great topic. We see this come up a lot, especially when you're maybe pivoting roles.
Yes.
Or when you've had dual roles for a while, or if you've been in, say, management for a while, wanting to step back purposefully into a CRA role. We have lots of situations where this is applicable, even just regular CRAs. You've always been a CRA, tailoring your resume to that job. So, team,
agreed.
Let's go through some of these scenarios. When would it be good to tailor your resume specifically?
Well, and maybe we can kind of go through our process, because I think most recruitment agencies, and they don't all have the same exact structure that we do, but most recruitment agencies have a team that does the sourcing, which is your initial point of contact within the agency, and they're behind the scenes of your application. And then you have the recruiters. So you progress to recruiters or you don't. If you progress to recruiter, that's the phone call where you kind of do further assessments, et cetera. And then you have the individual that's actually going to submit you to the client. So you're the client facing group. Some agencies it's the same person that does all, but all three roles are very specific in any type of agency. And I would be willing to even bet that in a large company where HR is doing this, you still have the same roles. You're doing the initial sourcing, then you're doing the recruitment stage, and then you're doing the, okay, well, let me get you in front of the hiring manager so that they can decide whether or not they want you. So let's talk a little bit about why tailoring your resume and cover letter matter at each one of those stages.
Thank you for that, Angela. As part of the sourcing team, I'm actually the first contact point in the hiring process. So what I do, I screened your resumes. And if I'm not seeing the things that or the required qualifications on your resume, then it might result to different consequences. Like, for example, if you have not yet updated your therapeutics, your TA table, and I'm looking for a certain therapeutics, but it's not on your resume, but you actually have it. So that might result to putting you on the wrong job. So it's going to be resulting to poor fit. And if I'm gathering all the information from you, it's a time wasted.
Yep.
And
because you got to go back and ask for clarification.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And even before we know it, the job is already closed. It's been mm-hmm. grabbed by another candidate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another thing in customizing your resume, please make sure to look out for small details. Like, for example, wrong spelling. Make sure the company's name is not wrong spelled, or avoid sending us a colorful resume because it's not really necessary, you know. Just make sure that you have all the basic and vital information on your resume and you're good to go.
Love it. Love it.
And
yeah, I love it. Go ahead, Jenny.
I was just going to say, and if you're not quite sure how to maybe get started with tailoring your resume, if you haven't done that before, a great way to kind of start is to look at the job description and see what's out there and see what kind of keywords they might have in there or what kind of keywords might be in their requirements for the job. And then be sure to kind of put those in your resume as it applies, of course. So if it requires oncology experience or something and you have oncology experience, definitely make sure that's in your resume so that can be seen first thing. And of course, that'll help not only in showing that you're a good fit for the job, but if they have an AI system that's looking for those keywords, yep. that'll help you get past that. So very important. And on the other hand, you don't want to go overboard with that and just have keywords everywhere. You want to make sure it still still sounds good and it's not awkward. And a human is eventually going to be looking at this resume, so keep that in mind as well.
Just a bunch of words in there. Yeah. They don't make any sense, but they pass by the AI, right?
Right. So,
I totally agree with Jenny, too, about the customizing words. Like, if you're reading a job description and it says site monitoring, don't get fancy with your words and start putting, like, field oversight, visit coordination. Put site monitoring, because that's clearly a valued word. Like, that's something they're looking for on it. And if they have to dig or interpret, this is not like a poem that we want to interpret different meanings from. This is like, give us what we want. Let me see it, please. Because don't leave anything to interpretation. And if that's what the job description says, put it in. And then and also just something.
Well, can
that,
I say something before you move to your yes. next topic? Don't forget that yes. next topic. But I really wanted to drive this home, because you guys that are listening out there, don't assume that the person that's looking at your resume knows what clinical research is all about. They might not understand the role, that's and true. They might not understand that a field monitor and a site manager are the same things in a lot of contexts. And so that verbiage that's in that job description is extremely important, because the first set of eyes that actually look at your resume may not know boo about oncology, but they're not going to understand all the different languages, but they're going to be looking at what matches the job description. So it is very important to use the exact same verbiage.
Yeah, it could be an HR gatekeeper who yes. has no idea what that role right. is. They're just looking for those keywords. Yeah, absolutely. We see that a lot.
Yeah. So thank you for that point, Maya. It's very important. Yeah. All y'all listen. Listen up.
No poems. No interpretation. No poem. Just give it to us straight, you know? And, you know, I forgot my second point, but actually my second point was... I wanted to create a poem for you guys. my second point was, and I've just started doing this in more recent years, but if you're looking at a specific company and you could see they have very specific values, like say they value innovation or speed or leadership, you know, incorporate those words into your summary in particular, because it's like, oh yes, you value innovation. So do I. I'm super innovative. Here is this word and here is why I'm innovative in my summary. Like, It maybe it's not job description specific, but because it's your summary, right. you can then customize how you're also how you are great for a great fit for the company. You know, you are that perfect fit in all aspects, not just because you've done site coordination or whatever.
Yeah, I love that too. To the extent that it matches. I mean, if you really yeah. are not innovative, don't add that you're innovative.
Don't add. Do not add.
They might ask you about it in the interview. Be careful.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, I don't know what it means, but I thought it was a great word, so I put it yeah. in my resume. Yeah.
Customizing does not mean embellishing. If you are not that specific person, don't do that either.
I love it. Great points, though.
Yeah, I'm going to speak at it. Oh, sorry.
You,
go on,
Natalie.
Becky.
No, go
I was
ahead.
Just going to say, on the recruiter side of things, when we tell folks, like when we're interviewing them and they tell us something that's not on their resume, and we tell them, update that. Please add that on your resume. Make these suggestions. Like, I'm going to give you some suggestions to make your resume look more clear, because the other recruiter or individual that you'll be speaking with the client, may have those same questions. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Make your resume clear so then there's no delay. But I don't want to become negative Nancy here, but it's so frustrating. When I tell folks suggestions and they don't come back and they still want the job, and it's like, no, you didn't follow my instructions. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say no, but you know, I'm just going to politely say, but you have to update your resume. So don't get frustrated with us, the recruiters, or with the agency when we're just trying to help you get a job. We want to give you the job, you know? So just keep that
we
in
know
mind.
Our clients. Right. We know what they're going to be looking for.
Right.
We know exactly where their eyeballs are going to go in that formatted CV. And if that information's not there, they're going to be like, why are you sending this person over here? They have
exactly.
no whatever it is. And so I agree.
But I sometimes think like candidates don't look at us like – an agency as like the part of the client that they're being submitted to when we are, like you just said, we know our clients, we know what they're looking for in the resume, take our suggestions. And then that way you could get to the next step. So.
Well, and that's like the point. I mean, I don't submit if you send me a candidate, they're great. They have all the qualifications and I look at their resume and their resume is not telling me the story that I know that the hiring manager is looking for, then I'm not going to submit them over. This is especially important for managers. If you're stepping back into a CRA role because this is really what you want to do, your resume needs to make me believe that's what you really want to do. Because I think you're also... You have told me some examples too, Natalie. I'm going to steal, but
oh, you're fine. Go ahead.
You said that you know you've ran into some egos with managers. Mm-hmm. Well, I've done this work. Why wouldn't it be on my resume? And you've told them it's like I'm not trying to tell you to take these things off of your resume. I'm trying to make you see that you need to make your CRA work right stand center. Out in your mm-hmm. resume. That way, the hiring manager will then consider you. Mm-hmm. So don't let your ego get in your way. I mean, what job do you want? Do you want a CRA position or you want a management position?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've had some specific, really great examples of this lately, too. So this one candidate has been doing dual roles recently, been doing some management work, and really wants to pivot and get back into monitoring. And he sent us a resume that was tailored to this one sponsor, oncology sponsor, and that was the position he was applying for. Really great resume up front, huge summary speaking to his CRA work, did mention he was a CTM, you know, along the way, but then just dug right in to his CRA work.
He underplayed his CTM work. He was applying for his CRA role.
Exactly. He didn't leave it out. He just underplayed it. And then he has a whole section on his oncology and hematology expertise with some details on those studies, which is what this job was for, the therapeutic. He then had a section that was about his accomplishments, phase one oncology safety oversight, resolved biomarker sampling risk in a phase one, cleared a regulatory bottleneck in this other phase one study, you know, things like that, highlighting their accomplishments as a monitor. And then when you get to the experience section, what did he do? Did he have 3 pages worth of his management experience? No, he said he was a contract research professional. True. And then he said, here are my selected engagements. And they were all highlighting his CRA roles and gave dates and companies. So everything he offered was true and valid. He just highlighted it and downplayed the other experience. So he didn't get out a crooked pencil and give us a bunch of stuff he hadn't done to embellish, to make himself a fit for this. He just highlighted what he did that worked and was a fit for this job. So that is the right way to do it. Kudos to this candidate.
I know. Becky was like, you're hired.
Yes, it's a carry.
Just from his resume. And as many resumes as you look at, and for this one to stand out, because he showed the interest in the position, which is the only thing that we're asking you to do.
Agreed. Yeah. Why you're a fit.
Mm-hmm. A hiring manager is going to need to know anyways. Go ahead and start from the start.
So let's talk about the how. We've given a few tips on the how. We've talked mostly about the why. But Savannah, you've got some really great thoughts on the how. Talk to us.
I do, yes. And I feel like a lot of this information could really be helpful to like baby CRAs or the younger generation that I feel like it hasn't been pushed enough for us to work on a cover letter. You know, what does it include? What does it mean? Why is it important? My attitude originally was, why do I have to do this? Because I already have a summary section in my resume. So I was like, why do I have to do this? A whole page? Are they even going to read it? Like stuff like that. Bad attitude. Don't have that. So... you are going to want to tailor your cover letter for each job, just like each resume, like everyone's been saying. And you would start with making sure, I feel like there's this idea that a cover letter has to be an entire page long, like single space.
It won't
like
be read.
Yeah, it won't like be read. That's not going to get read. Starting with like 4 to 5 paragraphs like just itself is great. You're going to want to include a header with all your contact information, your name, phone number, email at the top. And then you also want to include the date, of course, and the employer's contact details if they're provided to address them appropriately. You're going to want to have a salutation or a professional greeting addressing the hiring manager by name. You could say, dear blah, 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 if you know their name. If you don't, you could say, dear hiring manager, or you could address the company. And just make sure that it's professional. And then for your opening paragraph, that's going to be your attention-grabbing introduction. So you're going to state the position you're applying for, why you're interested, and a brief overview of why you fit the company. And then, you know, you're going to have one or two body paragraphs that are highlighting your relevant skills. Like Natalie was talking about, this would be a good place to highlight those hard and soft skills for how you could better push that, what your skills are for the job. And then you have a closing paragraph where you're going to wrap up all of your thoughts together. And the most important part is you're going to express gratitude for consideration for the job. Always do that. And then you're going to end by using a professional closing signature. So always make it professional, like sincerely or best regards followed by your name. And then a couple of important tips when to remember after you have your cover letter finished is make sure you're not sending out generic cover letters, because I know how easy it can be, especially let's say you're an administrative assistant and you're looking for an administrative role. It would be really easy to say, dear blah, blah, blah company, and you're just sending it out, and maybe you didn't check for the company name, and now they're really not going to look at you because they think you don't know what you're doing. I'm guilty of that, so for sure. yeah, so just make sure you're addressing the company or hiring manager appropriately when you do that.
Yeah, a couple of things. We actually got one through our recruiting portal the other day that says, dear Andrea, I'm very interested in the position that Talent Acquisition is offering. And I'm like, I sent her a note back. I couldn't help it. Y'all, I just could not help it. The beast came out. I said, we do not have an Andrea that works here. And our company name is not Talent Acquisition. I'm like, we're out. We're already out. I mean, because if you're that transactional, how are you going to write a report for the FDA if you are that transactional? If you're going to take an old report and not make sure that all the details are updated on it, this is your calling card, for God's sakes. Pay attention to what you're doing. And it's really critically important to do so. With that being said, your cover letter doesn't need to be a copy of your resume. Don't go and just do value vomit of everything that's in your resume and put that in your cover letter. To Savannah's point and to Maya's point, take a look at the job description and all the details. And Jenny talked about this too. Find out what's relevant there. And that's what goes into your cover letter. You're reinforcing, I can be a manager because I've got all this teamwork experience. I'm innovative. Therefore, I can be part of your innovative project team, etc. You want to make sure that they're seeing that specific. Also, if you're writing a cover letter, make sure that the branding is the same. You never know if that cover letter is going to get separated from the resume. People print stuff off. And so to Savannah's point, make sure your contact information is on it. But if you're using a certain color of paper or format style or whatever on your resume, I would recommend that you kind of mirror that across your cover letter too, because it shows that you've got this whole professional package going on. So.
Well, and it's a good point too, because you're quality applications will get you a lot farther than transactional applications. You could spend all day being transactional, not really reading job descriptions, shooting out your resume. You're wasting your time. So apply to two jobs that you're interested in today, not 20 just because they're all out there and you just need a job.
Agreed.
All right. Well, thank you so much, team, for this discussion. Thank you all out there for listening. That's all the time we have today. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit CRAresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.